501 here in the nation's capital. Made it this far. We appreciate that. And it's been fun. It's interesting. We try to get through it and learn a little bit more than we knew before it started. And it's hard to nail every point. But one of the true soldiers of burgundy and gold coverage is Donna Hopkins. And I had a chance to speak with the bearded one this week. That is white beard like Santa Claus and Tony Mack and Zach McGee. And, man, we reminisced, Donna. We went over old memories. We went talking about back in the day when you were just born. And he's a mentor. He's a role model. He's somebody that I credit what little bit of maturity I have. I credit it to him. Because he was talking about things that others weren't talking about back in the 80s, in the mid-80s. And he was projecting and also understanding life after the gridiron, which is important. And we were both fortunate to spend over a decade, almost two, being on the surface, the playing surface, doing games. As you well know, when you're on that side, it's a whole different world. You see the game, you hear the game, and you reflect it in a way that can't be captured in any other moment. Can't get it from the press box. Can't get it from the stands. It's a different game between the lines on the sidelines. And
that's where it starts.
Man, that's where, I mean, it's like watching that line of scrimmage, bird's eye, seeing perimeter play, and realizing the enormous amount of pressure on cornerbacks in run support. And seeing the guys that do it. I always tell Daryl Green the story. This dude is so tough. He's noted for speed, but he, to me, is tough. Because I saw him go in and be out, I mean, just overwhelmingly on the bad side of weight going against these guards. And he never flinched. He jumped in their chest like they was nothing. And I think of those teams and those defensive units that weren't really heralded. Pettibone's group earned it, but they weren't headlined. It was always about the offense, but it was the defense that made it happen and put you in a position to win. And those fundamentals, no matter how long ago it was, Donna, they're back.
They're back.
And tell me one thing about it that doesn't remind you of when we were really good, the principles that it took to get to that position are now exactly what they're striving towards.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, because people were asking me today at practice in the hot weather. It was scorching hot. Hardest day of practice so far.
Yep.
And you could tell it because the players were dripping. Yep. I saw Sam Cosby. I was sitting on by the sideline, and when he came off to the field, he knelt down on his knee, and they were putting water over his neck and everything
neck.
To cool him down.
Cool you down.
Yeah, to cool him down. And he sat there for a minute on kneeled there for a minute on his knee, came back, went back on the field, came back again, same thing, because it was hot and they were putting some practice today, being that they went into the tent, the whole team. And I was like, what's going on? And so it's to cool down. I'm sure that's what it was.
Yep,
and then they
cool
came
down.
Back out on the field.
Yep.
But you could just tell, you know, looking at the players as they came off the field after practice was over, they had put in the work, because you could tell that. You like you said, you're starting to see what it takes to have a championship team. Because somebody asked me, I said, look, I was back there when they were winning, doing that spell when they went down. And then we were talking about the tour days, being in pads all the time, preparing you for the real season. And as they approach the Dolphins inner squad scrimmage, that is going to be the telltale. And Rick, to see Laramie go off the field today, I was like, oh, he's the anchor of the offensive line. I mean, he's put in the work as far as guiding those younger players.
He's on the field
players,
like 2 hours before practice working.
Two hours. And he has taken the younger guys under his wing. Josh Connerly is with Laramie Tunsil all the time. They come on the field together. They start working together. And talking to Brandon Coleman this week, he said that he went down to train with Laramie Tunsil during the off season, and he said, this is the best shape I've ever come back in. And I said, what did that look like, practicing and getting in shape and working out with Laramie Tunsil in his territory of Alabama? He said it was hot, wasn't nothing more to do. But we put in the work as far as the conditioning, the lifting, even the nutritional part. And, he said he learned so much, and you could just tell the growth in what he said. Well, now with Laramie out, that growth is going to have to come into play right now, because we don't know how long or what the extent of that injury was with Laramie today. But as I watched him walk off the field, it didn't look bad. But, because he was walking off, arms was,
adrenaline,
normally hanging beside his side. But you never know until you go in and get the x-rays.
Yeah, and this is the value of Scott having a guy that has played the left tackle position. There's only so many people on the planet that can say they've played it. It's a different animal. And luckily, that's why I say I like this unit. I call them the Fab Five, but there's eight of them that I trust to be able to start and protect the king. And that is
JD5.
That's
why you have depth. That's why you have depth.
That's the whole thing. This is like when you try to explain this to people that don't live it, it's not their life. You go, what would you do if you had the Kisep Diamond? How would you protect it? And everybody may have a different strategy. But in this case right now, the stronger our running game, the less pressure on five. The stronger our intermediate passing game, the less pressure on five. When you get into the drop back game, now you're exposing him, which means usually longer distances to achieve. That's why you want to stay out of second and 12 and 14. Because that's when those edge rushers start licking the chop. Because guess what? There's only so many things you can do to make that up. This is what it's about. It's about cat and mouse game and having a hammer. And will we be able to run the football at will? And can we protect JD5? Those are big questions.
Well, I do like the running game. I do like what I've seen from day one of the running game, because when I was talking to Coach Lynn during the OTAs and I was asking him about the running back room, he said, too early for me to tell you anything about what I see. He said, Bill needs to make that next step up from his rookie year. Well, guess what? He's made that next step up because he's catching the ball out of the backfield really well. He's running the ball really well. And what he did during the off season to get his body ready for it by putting on extra muscle, you could see that right off. You could see where Coach Lynn said the next step. But he challenged him. I asked Coach Quinn about that. He said, look, he said, Bill is so gung-ho to say, give me more, give me more. I want to do more. That competitive nature. Because Rashad White is pushing him, because Rashad White looks good too.
Yep.
So those two backs, and I'm not saying the other backs don't look good, but I'm looking at that 1-2 punch right there. That running game really looks good. And then the other guys who can't come along, Allen and Jeremy McNichols and Ford and all those other guys, but you're looking at, does Bill take the next step? Well, he has in practice. Really looked good. And Rashad White, I said, man, he looked like a wide receiver, more so than a running back. Great to me, that running back room is really nice. Now you talk about the wide receiver room, that you got Diggs now.
Yep.
You just added a little bit. I watched him, and of course everybody else did. I watched, but I didn't watch so much him on the field. I was sitting right there on the sideline, a feet away, a few steps away from them. I was listening to them. I was watching how he interacted with all of the receivers. He took Williams aside, and he was telling him a little bit about whatever he saw when Antonio Williams was on the field. And you could tell he's a teacher already coming in here himself, and he's only been there 2 days now. So I was watching the interaction of the receivers with Diggs and Terry and that brotherhood of the receiver room. That's what I was paying attention to, not so much about what they did on the field, and that is key, but how is that relationship, that bonding of the receivers? I saw that today. I saw him looking like he fit right into there. I saw the other guys embrace him also. And then Rick, over on the other side of the ball, I'm always looking for what's happening on the sides and whatever. Durante Jones had the cornerbacks over on the side, going through drills, showing them their some feet work and everything. All of the cornerback room was over there with Jones. Jones was working 101 with them before they got into the real practice. And I said, that is what I'm talking about. Pulling them aside, watching what they did in the 101s with the receivers, and showing them what they need to do as far as to get their feet work, the body movements, as far as jamming the receiver and all of that. That is what I saw Jones working with today with the cornerback room.
The cornerback room.
Hey, Rick, I'm paying attention to everything.
I like that. And I'm not surprised. It just tickled me. What's unusual? What's the one thing? Is anything stood out unusual?
Yeah, I mean, that is, to me, that's what stood out, is that your defensive coordinator watched you the day before in practice go up against the wide receivers, and
right.
He didn't like what he saw.
Okay.
And so the next day, he pulled you all together, and he went through the drills and different things and showing you what
you
need to do and the moves.
Gotcha.
He went through the moves with them, Doc.
Gotcha.
I was like, that is music to my ears. That is what I saw, the difference. And the other thing is Diggs bonding with the wide receivers. Those are the two things to me that stood out today. Those things that people don't really watch. Everybody is watching on the field, the passes, all of that. But so many things happen on the sidelines that are even more important, you know, in developing the team and pulling the team together. And that's what I pulled out of today's practice beyond, you know, Trey Amos going out the field also, who just got back yesterday. But
same
hopefully
injury.
That's nothing much.
Same injury on Trey?
Yeah, well, they didn't say, so
okay.
I'm not for sure if
okay.
it's the same one, because earlier before he went off the field, he was amazing as far as the running, covering the receivers and all of that. He looked like he was back to form of, you know, getting back in the trenches of things. So not for sure what happened, you know, in that process. And we probably won't know until Monday when we get back to practice. So hopefully both Laramie and Trey is not anything, you know, major. And then Darren Armstrong being back, they're bringing him back, which was a breath of fresh air yesterday as I watched him go through some of his drills over there on the side. And they're bringing him slowly along. But again, you know, to see him back out there,
it's
to
amazing.
Add to that room, you know, he led the Commanders in sacks before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about adding another weapon on your defensive line that's going to make that unit even better. So yeah, but to see him yesterday come back and, you know, what I saw today, I was like, okay, this is what I like to see. And the telltale is next week when the Dolphins come to town.
Amen. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you for your diligence, as always, and I feel better. Ayo, how you feel? You feel better? just hearing that?
Yeah, Doc. I feel good. I'm excited about what's going to be going on with.
You got a question for Donna before we depart?
Say that again.
You have a question for Donna before we depart?
Well, Donna, first, thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate it. I'm a rookie here at 106.7 The Fan. I just started as a new operator.
No, you're not a rookie. You're first year, man.
First year.
Yeah, we don't do
first
rookies.
First year, no rookies.
We don't do rookies. You're first year, man. You're being trained by SEAL. So
yes, sir.
That's what, never, ever say that.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Yes, sir. I would say, I guess the only question, I'm a little bit worried about, I know we were saying we'll see what happens on Monday about Laremy Tunsil and Trey Amos, but what do you think about the depth that we have at cornerback? Because Trey Amos just got out there, and now he's out again. We'll see what happens on Monday. But they bring in Rasul Douglas. He's a veteran. And while I do trust what he can bring to the field, it's still a little bit worrisome. I've also heard people are not that happy with how Mikey Stainer still is playing. So how do you feel about the cornerback depth?
Yeah, that's the area that, again, I was happy to see Trey Amos come back yesterday because I think he's needed in that cornerback room. So hopefully, again, the depth has to be there. And I think that's the area where you're still, assessing that area. And they were hoping that with Trey coming back yesterday and today before he left the field, that he was going to be the answer, because I think if he could be at form like he was last time, that this room moves. But this room can only be as good as up front too. So the key is the front has to be able to help that back end. But I think that's an area that the Commanders are constantly going to look at as far as getting a little more stronger, as far as a little bit more depth. That's the reason why I told you that Jones had that group over there today working with them, showing them techniques and footwork and all of that. So concerns me a little bit as far as that room, but it's early, so they have time yet to figure that room out.
All right, Donna, thank you for that. We appreciate that. And
all right, sounds good.
All right, Big O, good question. Hey, man, being curious about it. It is 5:18 here in the nation's capital. And can't get enough of Hopkins, man. Tony McGee, Pro Football Plus, going on nice, almost seems like 50 years. And proud of Anthony McGee. Had a great chat with him. Now we'll turn it over to you. 1-800-636-1067. Any questions or whatever, and we'll take a shot at it right here on The Fan. 5:24. Here in the nation's capital, the MGM National Listener line is 1-800-636-1067. Talking burgundy and gold football here. District of Columbia is our first stop. Sean, welcome home.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
My man. What's up?
Hello?
What's on your mind?
Real quick, I just want to know, I'm sitting here looking at the roster right now.
Okay.
And I want to know, tell me about the people that's not looking good. I'm going to give you some examples. Tell me about Sam Hartman. What is Sam Hartman doing? Because I don't want to wait till Friday, because everybody's saying the Commanders, they're on point. They're ready to go. So when I get to the second string and the third string, I don't want to be upset. I don't want people to say the starters didn't play, so don't worry about it. But I want to know, what are we doing?
If you're the third or fourth option, you don't get many reps. So a lot of what you're working on is before practice and after practice. You don't have enough time for everybody to get the pre amount of reps. That's what happens when you're third or fourth string. It's not equal.
Oh, okay.
And that's why most cases, they're veterans.
I can't get no update on Van Jefferson.
Well, they're veterans. That's why your veterans are usually at the end of it, because they don't need all the reps because they've been through it. But it's how you evaluate practice. I don't evaluate practice. I evaluate games.
Me too. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to wait till Friday.
You got another choice.
And then my second string is not looking good.
You
got
to wait. You acting like a flower. You don't want to wait for the flower to bloom. You have to. You don't know what it's going to be till you see it. That's why we're having scrimmages. So you can find out where we're at. Not what the finished product is. You want to know where you're at. You're not wrong.
I got you.
I'm just telling you.
Yes.
It's not you want the baby before its due date. It don't happen that way. You might get a Polaroid, right. But to have the actual infant in your arms, you got to wait the 9 months.
Yeah, everybody talking about Sonny Styles. What about McGee? What is McGee doing?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to find out. Look, don't expect people not to get hyped over the number one pick when they look like Superman. That's normal. And the other kid's been here for two seasons. I mean, how much longer do you have to wait? That's why this is important for him now. I'm like you. I'm tired of hearing about people I never see play in the games. Hopefully that's over.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you.
Appreciate you. Hey, you were on point, man. Elijah in the District of Columbia. What up?
What's going on, Doc?
Hey, man.
How you doing, man?
Labor of love.
Yes, sir. You always hold it down, and you keep it real. I'm excited about our outfit, and I feel like they looked at themselves in the mirror and looked at the good, bad, and the ugly. And I think everybody is very excited about what Steph can bring. And I think they looked at themselves and they say, hey, man, if we lose our one, we put our pups in a position that they had to do more than not that they couldn't
True.
Eventually, but
yep,
they put them in a situation that I don't think they wanted to. Yeah. But I think this time around, having both of your guys, your top receivers, I'll take Antonio Williams, I'll take Lane, I'll take McCaffrey, I'll take all of those guys on anybody's three. So mathematically,
yep.
I think they're in a good spot to actually grow with the structure of the team. And I'm curious, Doc, about your day's plan and how between the veterans and the young pups, the structure you guys had with some of your vets and some of your guys who were the leaders and the opportunities that the pups still have because of the structure that you guys had created. And I would love to hear your thoughts on
well,
our
it's
ability
never
to
what you plan.
Now.
It's never what you plan. Some guy pulls a ham, you're up. You're either ready or you're not. That's the real reality of it. You get reps when you get reps. That's why you love the inter-squad scrimmages. You want to go out and make a play. What are they looking for now? You don't get a lot of reps, but do you make mental mistakes on the few that you get? You want to be zero on that. So if you know what to do, now the question is, can you do it? Then, do you get a penalty on your play? There's so many. Is the ball tipped? You're wide open, but the ball gets tipped. I mean, so there's so many factors. That's why we have scrimmages, so we can get film of competition against a team that doesn't know your patterns. Our DBs know our patterns.
Right.
You know, they know exactly what we're trying to do. Appreciate your call. It is 9:29 here
All
in the
up.
Nation's capital. We're going to continue to take your calls here at 1-800-636-1067. Right after this break, we'll be right back. Man, I wonder about a guy like Rashid White. I wonder what he thinks about this. When you're a running back and they really tried to change, they didn't try. They did a damn good job of changing the trade pay structure or how people were paid in this league. And now it's coming back to the point where guys are going to get paid. If you have a specific skill set, you're a dual threat running back, you got a chance now to go ching ching and get paid. And you know you should be. And I like our running back room a lot. Now, the roles will be defined once you get in the battle. But I do have my eyes on a couple people in particular to see. Rashid White is one of those guys. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And let's go and say, hey, Myrick, you've been patient. Welcome.
I'm a diehard old head. I'm a little older than you, Doc.
And, I doubt that.
That's right. I go back to before when Sonny Judge, we couldn't win games.
Okay. All right. You got me. You got me. You got me. You got me.
Yes, sir. So, I remember when the body came and then we were up high, and then he got sick, and George Allen came, and he took us to the promised land, and then here comes Joe Gibbs later, you know. So my thing is, I looked at that schedule, and I was like, oh, my God, where did they come up with these combinations? But if we can just go 500 those first four games, I think we can build confidence to be definitely be in the playoffs, because you can't really get any tougher. You're playing the Eagles, a former champ. You know, Dallas always give us trouble. I don't care if we win and beating everybody. And then you got the Seahawks. So if we can just 500 those first, and don't lose a lot of people, like, I don't know, we must have voodoo or something on us last year. Mm-hmm. But if we can just play up to standards and keep close or win half of those games, I think we'll be fine this year. You know, I just had a confidence. So that's
well,
all
not,
I wanted to say.
You're not wrong in that premise, even though neither one of us can prove it.
Yeah.
But we can think it. And we're more so like hoping. We have nothing to substantiate any of it. Nobody does. But it still doesn't make it fun. It's fun. It's fun to think. Nobody thinks about being 0-8.
Right.
You know, those thoughts go into your brain. If you're smart, being 8-0 doesn't enter your brain either. So what you're working with is you got to see some evidence. What gives you evidence? First of all, the people in charge give me hope.
Okay.
The new coordinators give me hope.
Yes.
The additions on the roster, physical people give me hope. Stephon Diggs, he gave me hope.
Yes.
Now we got to find out if we can overcome setbacks. Nobody wins a championship without being able to high hurdle adversity.
Hey, I remember we was 0-8.
There you go.
You was in
We've been 0-5 here under Joe Jackson Gibbs. Yeah.
That's
so
right.
All of this sounds good because we have a show. Yeah. We have a format. But without the format, I would tell you that seeing is believing.
Exactly. And seeing I also remember one more thing, because I know y'all probably have to get off. Mm-hmm. But I remember that first Super Bowl when they – not the first, but the second, when they was – everybody was at your mom's house and they was eating – y'all was eating ribs. It was a beautiful thing.
Well, you remember
that,
huh?
I just want us to go back.
Yeah. She fed – her and my aunties, they fed – 2 days. Took 2 days to feed the team.
And, it was beautiful.
And yeah, we had a old school neck bones and chitlins holding. Then we had an Italian buffet, and the hogs came in the house. And George Michael, he filmed it all. There's an archive, and I've been trying to find this thing.
Yeah.
I'd give anything to get that footage, because she fed them here, and then they came back east and did it once at the house here.
Oh, wow.
There's nothing like
feeding.
That's what their passion was. And she's 94 now.
Oh,
and probably listening
as
we go now. And she, her and Aunt Ruth and all of them, they did a great job. And thanks for bringing that up, because that's definitely a great
memory. Yeah, man, I so appreciate it, because I haven't called in years. But you on the show, it just give me a new, you know, interest. And I'm so glad that they appreciate your talent. Thanks so much for being there for us.
I hope you're right. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
All right, bye-bye.
Now, that's a throwback. See, you so young, Big O, you don't get it. Too young to know, but Metal does. When you get that reference of being at mom's, home cooking, Metal, we fed the whole team. They did in 2 days. Two separate days, they fed the entire team, home cooking. It's one of the most amazing things. And George, he filmed it all. And I've been trying for years to find that footage. That would be because trying to feed the hogs was, and she did it. They did it. It was amazing. And those are the memories. That's what winning gives you. The fun bunch, the hogs, the over the hill game, all these people. This team had character thanks to George Allen and the over the hill gang. That was character. Sonny, Sam, all those guys, Billy. That's what it's about. Head hog, George Stark. Only guy that got a chance to be in both of those locker rooms. And that's why, to me, he's a national treasure that really needs to be appreciated. I know I'm biased, but don't sleep on George Stark's accomplishments to all this. The one guy that tied both of these groups together. Kevin, out in Maryland, you have been patient, my brother. What up?
Hey, Doc. Good to hear from you, man. Thanks for taking my call.
My man.
So I was thinking about, you know, you were talking about the old days, and I've been a fan for damn near four over decades.
I appreciate that.
And I remember
that.
The glory days at RFK with you and the Fun Bunch. Yeah, man. And I thought there was a lot of parallels when you're talking about the roster between the team you were on versus the team we have now. You know, I kind of felt like Terry's kind of like Art Monk.
Yeah.
Stephon could be like Gary Clark.
I see where you're going.
Man, number 14.
No, I see where you're going.
Number 14.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. And then we got, you know, I'll put you up there with one of the best tight ends, but I think Chig could be a little better than Clint Didier.
Oh, Chig and Diggs, if they're the same, we still win. Diggs is a champion.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the one position I kind of feel like is key, and you would know this because you were part of the Hogs, is center. And so I know that there was a lot of talk about not upgrading there over the off season, but how do you feel like Jeff Bostic ranks in terms of the all time centers that you played with or even watched?
Well, he's number one with me because he was my center. I mean, Jeff Bosco is pound for pound the toughest son of a you know what I ever played with. He was right. The best open range blocker. That means in free space, coming out in open air, he nailed in corners with one hit, didn't miss. He is such an extraordinary athlete at his size to been in there against the behemoth that he was with, and he was unbelievable. And thank you for bringing it up because most people don't.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
so.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, like. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Enthusiasm that's driven by winning is contagious, and people go overwhelmed by it. But very few people, it's like picking up a hood and being a mechanic. Very few people get under the hood and understand what generates the horsepower. They're interested in the rims, and the rims are shiny, and that's all they focus on. But you saw beyond that. You and let me tell you what, Mark May, who doesn't get mentioned, Mayday at the guard spot. There's so many guys that don't ever hardly get mentioned. Mean Dean at guard. It's just amazing. Yep. So I always liked it when I hear about these guys and go, glad you paid attention, glad you saw it and understood their contribution because it should never go unnoticed.
In addition, Doc, I mean, I just wanted to say, like, do you see a little bit of Joe Washington and Bill? And then do you certainly see a little bit of Gerald Riggs, George Rogers, and certainly Riggo in Catron?
Well, you know what? I can't put those guys up against – you just mentioned legends. Joe Washington is the best feat I've ever seen, and John Riggins is an indestructible tank. So nobody's on their level yet. I hope they do. They should aspire to be, but it would be rude of me to mention them in the same breath before they bust a grape.
Well, that's fair. And I guess I'd say in 40-plus years, it was a pleasure watching you. It was a pleasure watching the Skins bring home all those titles, and I can't feel any more optimistic with the team we have and also the quarterback we have, suffice to say, JD5, most exciting quarterback I've ever seen in Washington.
Kevin, just stay with him, man. Appreciate the loyalty. We got to get to break because Heavy Metal's over there. He's irate. It's 5:44. Y'all did this to me. I didn't do this to myself. You did it to me. We'll be right back. We are back at you. It's hot. And we go to Luke in the District of Columbia. What's up, Luke?
People got to realize that our backup left tackle, he's a big boy, and he doesn't mess around. And you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, Brandon Coleman.
That boy Coleman, yeah, he's nothing to mess around about, man. That boy is a mammoth.
Yeah, and I think we're good. We got depth. I think it's one of our more fortified positions on the entire team. I know some of you may raise your eyebrows when you start talking about the center position. Now, we have bodies, and they're
that's
healthy.
What I'm trying to say,
now, if
man.
They can play, we'll see. But that's why we're not at the end of training camp. We're at the beginning of it. So this is the time to throw people in the water and find out if they can swim.
And I honestly think, I mean, yes, we're in the beginning of training camp, but if this happened at the end of the training camp, I have all the confidence in the world with Coleman. He did it in 2024. He could do it again in 2026.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Got a new regime. got to give them the benefit of the doubt as well to do their thing. Appreciate that, Luke. Stay strong.
Yeah.
Annapolis, Charles, welcome home.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, how you doing, bro? I'm good.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm fine. I've been following your career since the Channel 4 days and even back to when you played for the Skins, and I've got one question.
You're not that old, Charlie. What are you talking about? You'd have to be damn near 100 to have been able to see all that.
Well, Doc, every time this team goes through a slump during the season and it fires you up, and you speak for me like the way that I feel, and it makes me like want to run through a wall. And my question is, has anyone from this existing coaching staff or existing management team asked you to speak before a game or like after practice?
No,
because every time you get worked up.
No, they've got
every time you get worked up. No, I know they got people, but man, they sure could use you. I mean, like some of these cats. I know that you got to be tough to play football, but sometimes I just feel like you could like the way that the passion that you speak with, it just gets people charged up, and I love hearing it because, like you used to say, you come strong or don't come at all.
Yeah, come spring and strong.
I really appreciate you, man.
Well, I'm a byproduct of this community and you guys and the support that you lend to our group was second to none. What you give to this group is second to none. And I want more for these fans. You got to understand, I've been tainted. I've been on planes that arrive at 4 a.m. in the morning and seen lines of fans all the way from the airport back to the facility. Can't make this up. The outpour of support, the genuine, other than, you know, Cowboys, Eagles, and whatever in our division, this group is the best. And they deserve it. Unfortunately, we've been hoodwinked and been cursed by horrible hires. But yet, like the Cleveland Brown fans, I don't feel sorry for us. How'd you like to be Cleveland? And yet they never back off. The Browns backers, man, that's the example to me. So I figured that if you guys can give to strangers the way you do, the least we can do, those of us that benefited from your love and from your affection, from your encouragement, is to hopefully teach the next group why it's important. You know, economics change everything. But we'll see. I think you got a good group. I really do. I'm not disappointed in the personnel. They haven't had a chance to show you yet, but I believe you'll be pleased when you see this group go out. This is not a cliche. It's not a saying. It's not a motivational moment. You got to have big, strong, agile, and hostile people playing for you. And finally, I think we have that combination of people. The right people that want to do something beyond pick up a check. We've had a whole bunch of people that talk about the bag. You don't hear that anymore, right? What you hear and see is people out there training, working, trying to prove a point. These people have been paid, and we got very little for it. You got hoodwinked. At every level, you had imposters. Okay, and they got busted because their resume stinks, because it's got a big fat F on it for failure. This group in here now is picking up the pieces. And I believe that if we support them like we've supported people in the past, we will benefit. You will be rewarded this time, because we got some bad people. We got some people that are physically fit to destroy, to blow things up. Just look at them. I mean, we got some dudes out there now, alien-like creatures. So that's a good thing. So, Charles, hang in there with them. Don't give up on them. Okay? Don't give up on them.
Thanks, Doc.
And I appreciate you getting a return on your investment. You got it. Boy, this has been fun. Think you can call the bosses and see if we can extend the game. You think the Nats would mind if we took another hour out of the programming? Huh? What do you think?
You still got one more segment here, bud.
Oh, so it's not goodbye, goodbye. It's just so long for now.